In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
This year, I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are. It's the right thing to do.
I'm against partial birth abortions. I'm against federal funding of abortions. And I believe in a strong parental consent notification law.
Just still pro-choice.
Yes.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Scott Roeder, guilty of the crime of first-degree murder.
The court has determined that the 12 jurors deliberating have reached a unanimous verdict. I will accept your verdict in order that it be filed of record.
We were hoping to help Haitian children who may be the victims of the slave trade, to help rescue them out of that scenario and to give them some hope and a future.
Well, it is said that the state of California, not only the largest in population in the United States, leads the way for the rest of the United States. We watch California for electoral trends, for trends in government policy, all of those kinds of things. Usually it happens first in California and then it comes to the rest of us in the rest of America. If that's true, what should we expect in terms of healthcare policy and the like? We're going to be talking about that with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, an international journalist, regular guest here on Issues Etc., here for the first half hour of this Wednesday's Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. After our conversation with Uwe, we're going to be hopefully getting an update on Haiti from Pastor Matt Harrison returning from Haiti and ongoing efforts in relief there. The last time we talked to him sounded kind of bleak in Haiti, in one of the cities. Very few relief workers where he was, and he said at one point the Haitians are pretty much doing this on their own. That may not be true for the whole country, but it does occasion update. Had a very interesting conversation this morning with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, that is the son of the famous Dr. Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral. Of course, Dr. Robert A. Schuller was head pastor of Crystal Cathedral after his father left that position, but for a very short time, and our conversation pretty much centers around the place of the gospel in the Christian life. He's written a new book titled Leaning Into God When Life Is Pushing You Away. After our conversation with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, I want your reaction to what he says is the place of the gospel in the Christian life, the ongoing struggle of the Christian life. That's coming up in about the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. Your reaction to our conversation in the second hour on this Wednesday afternoon with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, president of the League for Faithful Masks based in Irvine, California, and author of an article for the Atlantic Times titled California Dreaming. Uwe, welcome back.
Good to be back.
You've recently become a citizen of the state of California, and we—
A resident,
okay, yes.
Yeah.
We in America generally tend to think that in terms of political trends, social trends, it starts in California and then eventually trickles down to the rest of us. If that is true, based on your impressions of that West Coast state, what's in store for the rest of America soon?
Well, I have two totally opposing views in my own head of California. One is the one that you are referring to, which where I take the mickey out of California, the quintessential me society with all the consequences. For example, I quoted right on my at the beginning, you know, my visit at the dentist's office, and I had to fill in a form. The form says I give the allow the dentist to reach into my mouth, and my wife and I looked at each other, and we just burst out laughing, as did the dentist, and I said, "What other orifice would you use to do a root canal?" And the dentist said, "Well, don't blame me. This is California here. Obviously, some ditzy person was afraid of the dentist, didn't like to reach into her mouth or his mouth, and found some shyster lawyer to sue a dentist. And the next thing is, of course, the dentist has to pay a huge amount of money to the patient because he'd reached into the patient's mouth. That's me society. And from then on, you, wherever you go all the way down the line, it's me. It is me, a large bureaucracy. It is me, the taxpayers having to fund the selfishness of a quasi, not really a socialist state, but I mean it's all similar to what is going on elsewhere. You have the me society, especially up in Northern California. The Folsom Street parade, the homosexual stuff, the sadomasochism, all that. That, of course, emanated from me. I watched it happen in the 1960s. I covered all these things in between covering war and other things, and it all emanated from here. The other thing, Todd, is though that I'm observing here is the exact opposite. And certainly where I'm living here, people are resisting, and they're resisting fiercely. I belong to a congregation that is filling up by now. It's standing room only. This is a confessional, liturgical congregation, Faith Lutheran Capistrano Beach. 60% of the congregants are former evangelicals, and they are Lutheran through and through. They get Lutheranized. They come because they believe that Lutheran theology is the most appropriate theology, especially in this day of selfishness, and that also spreads. So, what can we expect from California? Total madness, but also some very remarkable sanity that manifests itself in various ways that I'm observing, have been observing since getting here.
You have written, if you've lived through a couple of dictatorships, your mind is trained to associate massive red tape with actual impending tyranny. What do you mean by that?
Well, listen, in a tyranny, whether it is a state tyranny or whether it's a corporate tyranny or some other forms of tyranny, the one thing that they always do is a lot of paperwork. If you looked at my fireplace, the right side of my fireplace, where my poor wife is storing the amount of paperwork that comes in daily from insurance companies and from all sorts of people having to be answered. If you here's a lady well of retirement age having to fight incredible morons on the telephone who actually don't understand anything she's saying, anything she wants. We are being tyrannized because tyrants want to keep control over you, and the tyrants are piling up paperwork. Remember that 20 years ago Germany was reunified, and then East Germany we had these enormous files. Huge files that you can check, where you can check the records, the Stasi having kept files on you. I haven't even looked at mine. I know there's a big file out there. Tyranny is always disallowing you to function normally and function as freely as you will, without state or corporate or insurance control. This is the association that I have here, that corporations very often have now begun to are now operating much along the lines of Bolshevik societies, that is general control of the public.
You write about a phrase, explain what you mean, convergence of systems. What do you mean there? How does that apply?
Yeah, that was former Chancellor, German Chancellor Willy Brandt, who opined one of the less intelligent remarks he made, that he thought that the communist system of Eastern Germany and Eastern Europe and Western Germany would ultimately converge, and in other words, the West would become more socialist and the East would become more democratic. Fortunately, he was proven wrong, and admitted to it, by the way, in 1989 when the wall came down and the people of Eastern Germany freed themselves with the help of God, obviously, because it was very much a did take place under the roofs of churches, but he was wrong. So I made fun of this thing when I sort of pointed at the convergence of the systems here in California, where you have elements of what constitutes an impending or an existing tyranny in the forms of bureaucracy. And then in the end, of course, it would mean the destruction of the individual by the tyranny imposed by courts and other people on issues that should not be the business of the courts.
We're talking with Dr. Uwe Sumanetto. He's an international journalist. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him. He has written an article recently for the Atlantic Times titled California Dreaming, Why the Golden State Sometimes Resembles the Former East Germany. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 3rd, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You could email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. We post a link to this article, California Dreaming, by our guest, Dr. Uwe Sumanetto, at our website, issuesetc.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Uwe Simonetto about California. He says a little bit like the former East Germany and state-run enterprises, the efficiency and inefficiency of both and the tyranny that may be behind all of it. Uwe, we recently had some medical bills in the Wilkin household, and dealing with the insurance companies can be a nightmare. You never know whether or not you're getting rooked, and you never know whether or not they're looking out for your best interest, and it can really become complicated. I can imagine why someone would say, look, hey, maybe the former East Germany had it right. Maybe state-run is better than all this privatized stuff. Maybe it's better, more efficient to do it that way. Your thoughts?
Well, that would obviously be a very flawed logic. To the point, the former East Germany destroyed a very well-functioning medical in its territory medical care system, which is the oldest universal care system in the world. It was founded by this rabid communist Otto von Bismarck in 1883. Actually, he started it because he this way he fended off the communists. And it is still functioning very well now in United Germany and before that in former West Germany. If you have a state-imposed universal health care, state-run, if you have bureaucrats do that for you, unless you have French bureaucrats who happen to be more astute and better trained than others, you are going to destroy the medical the health care system here. I am agnostic about whether we should maintain this current system here or whether there shouldn't be isn't room for improvement somewhere along the West German lines. But certainly we don't want to have the East German system here or the communist system, which is very much like the system you had in Britain, you know, or you have in Britain.
I am interested in your perspective generally. You lived and worked on the Eastern Seaboard. You lived and worked in the Midwest, about as Midwest as you can get in St. Louis. And now you live and work on the West Coast of the United States. What do you think about this notion that there's coastal America and then there's what is derogatorily called flyover country, the Midwest? What do you think about that distinction?
Yeah, well, I'm refuting this. I know about this theory, and it has permeated intra-Lutheran discussions. I know it is very strange that flyover country, which I've lived in, and the so-called flyover country is quite vibrant, is returning to much of its former vibrancy. And the idea that the heartland, which is rightly called the heartland, should suddenly become unnecessary or irrelevant is totally goofy, is illogical. In fact, when I discussed this with some rather important figure in Chicago earlier this last year, he said, just look outside. Wherever the railroads go now, because they're expanding the systems there, new communities are springing up, new businesses are springing up. That's in the Midwest. This is in the Midwestern states. And the only people who are a little slow on the wire to grasp this are churches, including our denomination. I don't believe that at all.
So what can we learn from the mistakes of not only we've talked about the former East Germany, but elsewhere where the same kind of political sensibilities hold sway? What can we in America learn and be forewarned about with those examples?
Well, we should first of all learn that any time the state or a similar institution as the state, like, for example, a corporate structure gone bananas, tries to impose its will on the individual and tries to smother the individual creativity, then you'll destroy your culture and you'll destroy that. What I'm trying to do at the moment is the whole me culture. I have the me culture in the crosshairs. the me culture and of that you, that is prevalent currently in the, in Western Europe and in the United States, and is in a sense similar to the we culture of dictatorships, is destroying us. It's killing us. It's killing millions of babies every year. It is doing all these things, and so therefore, what we should do instead, and what I notice quite a number of people, and what we are trying to do in my organization, are trying to do, is to return to the traditional orientation, Judeo-Christian orientation towards the you, serving the other, serving in our secular vocations as journalists, as lawyers, as doctors, mothers, serving the neighbor lovingly. And then you get a healthy society again, which is the exact opposite of the me culture or the we culture that we have, that I have seen grow and self-destruct twice in my life, and is currently self-destructing here. You notice it right now.
I did want to ask you about a current issue in the news. You spent many years covering the military in the theater of war.
Yes.
What do you think about the current debate and apparent political move to lift the ban on homosexual service in the military here in the U.S.?
Let me quote to you a guy who recently performed a minor operation on my mouth, and he is a Vietnam veteran. He was a flight surgeon, chief flight surgeon in Vietnam, and he said, "We're living in a conspiracy of morons. Anybody who has ever been in combat, anybody who has ever been with the military would find it absolutely ludicrous to have homosexuality openly displayed in a military environment. When you're in the jungle or in the desert and you use latrines, a whole platoon at the same time, openly, sorry to be so crass about it, but this is what's happening, or when you stand under the shower, it would be like sticking me when I was in my 30s around a whole load of the most beautifully shaped young women under a shower. I mean, it is absolutely absurd what these people are doing. The trouble is that the people who are currently running this country and other countries as well have no military experience. You have abandoned the draft, so therefore they don't even have an idea what it's like to be in uniform, to be in combat, or to be actually in military quarters. And they just blabber away, and it is so dangerous for our civilization because it undercuts the bravery and the commitment of decent soldiers. And it is obviously also undoable. You cannot do it. You will destroy the very fiber of a military unit.
Before we let you go, Uwe, tell us a little bit about your new adventure, the League of Faithful Masks.
Yeah. Well, the League of Faithful Masks has taken its name from Luther's description of man, creation, but specifically of man as the mask behind which God hides as he is accomplishing his secret purposes in life. So we are, as masks, we are supposed to serve. We're doing God's work in the left-hand kingdom, as we are, we're all lay professionals, lawyers, engineers, and others, and we're going to spread. We're going to have chapters around the country, and we're going to take young people by their hands and say, look, just do your daily work lovingly out of service for the other and not for the other. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't make a good living. It doesn't mean any of these things. We are not communists. We are just simply trying to return to a normal, natural behavior in our daily and secular lives. So the gospel has freed us to roll up our sleeves in the left-hand kingdom and do our daily work. And that is what the League of Faithful Masks is promoting in the United States and in Canada and in Europe.
Folks, you'll find information on the League of Faithful Masks under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look there for that link. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, president of the League of Faithful Masks based in Irvine, California, and author of an article for the Atlantic Times titled California Dreaming. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Todd. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a new sex education study having to do with abstinence, I believe, by the University of Pennsylvania with Dr. Janice Krause of Concerned Women for America. We tell our young people that they're raised in this me culture, and this generation of young people have come to a pinnacle of narcissism where even they recognize it, almost as though they realize with a sudden shock that they've been staring into a mirror for so long. And we are on the cusp with this young generation of people who are ready, they are ripe to think about something other than themselves. Now, this in some ways is a danger. They feel compelled to follow charismatic leaders or strange ideas. They're grasping for something beyond themselves. The baby boomers didn't realize this until they turned 60, that there was something greater than themselves. They spent their entire lives believing that the planets revolved around each and every one of them individually. I speak as a trailing edge baby boomer myself. But this next generation, they know that that is all hokum, and they know that there is something greater than themselves. They are ready to serve their neighbor. So let's leap at the opportunity. When we come back, a new sex education study by the University of Pennsylvania. We'll talk with Dr. Janice Shaw Krause after this.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Move over, global warming. There's a real crisis coming our way. For the first time in the not-too-distant future, the number of the world's elderly will outnumber children. The United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs says the gloomy prediction will come to pass by 2045. Experts are predicting a demographic winter that could be the biggest international crisis of the century. Abortion has caused the elderly population to rise three times faster than the world's overall population. Nations around the globe are killing millions of preborn children, and it's gradually catching up with us. In some countries, there are more abortions than live births. This demographic winter will affect every aspect of our lives. Ultimately, man will reap what he sows.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.